I'm Cassidy, one of your Indianapolis Colts cheerleaders, and you're watching the Believe in Colts podcast.
Welcome back to Believe in Colts. I'm Lawrence Owen. With me, as usual, is my guy, Bam. Bam. That's Donald Thomas sitting over there. And today we are going to go over the absolute garbage that we watched Sunday at 1 o'clock, where the Indianapolis Colts looked like they were a Pop Warner football team trying to take on an NFL team versus the Atlanta Falcons, which the Falcons was able to do just about anything they darn well pleased offensively and defensively against our Indianapolis Colts. And then we're going to also talk about what can we do to fix this situation, because we're still seventh seed in the playoff race, amazingly, because we weren't the only AFC South team that would look bad this past weekend. Every team in our division lost, which allowed us to stay in the playoff race. But initial thoughts, man. Initial thoughts on what you watched this past weekend.
It just was a performance. It was just a lackluster performance. It was just one that just, to be honest with you, there was no sense of urgency. And that's what we talked about last week, about having a sense of urgency coming into this game with the right mindset. You can't tell me that across the board as a whole, you're that inferior to the, you know, Atlanta Falcons. So, you know, just it was just a lack of, I mean, you can pick apart every single phase of the game, all three phases, and find players or situations that just didn't go well for the Colts all game. They were just like, what are we doing? So, you know, overall as a whole, it was very disappointing to watch that game, knowing that there's so much on the line, but the silver lining is that everyone else lost too. So you kind of, you know, you help yourself out, but we'll get into it because I don't want to give too much away right now. So, but yeah, I mean, just initial thing was like, it just, they came into that game and they didn't take it as serious as I feel like they should have.
No, you're absolutely right. I feel the same way. And like you said, before we get into it, I got to remind everybody that BetOnline is still your number one choice for all your betting needs. Get the latest odds, lines, and matchup reports for baseball, boxing, golf, NFL, NBA, and more. BetOnline continues to be the fastest and easiest way to place your wagers, including live betting and your favorite casino and card games available to play right from your phone. Head to the website or use your mobile device today to sign up, get in on the action. Remember, use promo code BELIEVE, that's BLEAV, to receive your 50% welcome bonus on your first deposit. Yeah. Bet online, where the game starts. So first and foremost, look, the Atlanta Falcons absolutely tore us a new one offensively against a defense that I thought was actually playing pretty good. You know, I thought they were doing well all game. And then next thing you know, we're giving up all sorts of yardage on the ground, through the air, you know, and it's just not something that I like seeing at all. Taylor Heinicke hardly was at all bothered. He was 23 of 33. That's like 70% completions and a touchdown. No turnovers. Bijan Robinson, 6 yards a carry. Dude averages 4.6. He got 6 yards a carry. Tyler Algier, he got 7.7 yards a carry on 9 carries. Cordarrelle Patterson, you know, he had an additional 26 yards to add on there. And my goodness, it was just a devastating look for this Indianapolis Colts team. And a lot of that had to do with missed tackles. There was so many missed tackles in this game between Zaire Franklin, Kenny Moore, and EJ Speed. Those three alone missed a total of 13 tackles in this game, according to PFF, right? And that's not a good situation. And of course, turnovers. The streak is over. The streak is over. We did not have a turnover. Should have. Zaire Franklin had a pick six right in his hands and just dropped it, because you know why? I got a feeling Zaire had six right here in his eyes before he closed his hands around it.
100%. He was like, I'm to the crib on this already, and he kind of just jumped the gun. You know, that happens a lot. You know, you see guys drop a ball. They try to turn and run before they actually secure it, stuff like that. So he saw it, man. He should have had it. I know he's still probably kicking himself in the butt for that today, tonight, you know, whenever, when he's probably not trying to think about it. But, you know, just from watching the game, it just, to me, it looked like Atlanta just did what they wanted on offense. Like, they literally, like, they did up front, they were bullies. Up front, there's a ton of holes. If you really go back and watch the game and you see – how much push they got up front. You normally see it for as soon as the handoff happens by the way the running back hits the hole. And there's a little pitter-patter. That means he's trying to find a hole. It's not definitive. And that's what we saw a lot on our end when we were trying to hit the ball. There's a lot of pitter-patter, try to find an open hole lane just to get a couple yards. But you don't get, 6 yards a carry. You don't average 7.7 yards per carry by pitter-patting your feet in the hole. Like, you were hitting that thing downhill. And that's what the Falcons were able to really do, was like they really created some running lanes and got up to the second level and made some guys miss. And it just looked like throughout the course of the game, as the game wore on, that's just what they did, man. They just wore on us constantly, just pounding the football. And I don't know if we came into this game plan of like really trying to stop the pass and not worry about the run. But when you have someone as dynamic as Bijan Robinson, I mean, he's proven that he's a very dynamic player. You have to be willing. You have to understand that both of those things are, you have to be prepared for. This kid can catch the ball. He can throw the ball. I mean, he can run the ball. So it's just like, why aren't we geared up to stop the run as well? Like, you got to keep this kid bottled up. You can't let this kid have 72 yards rushing and another 50 yards receiving at 122 yards total offense by one person. It's a lot of yards to give up, right? So, I mean, when you look at it as a whole, from a standpoint of almost 230 yards receiving, 177 yards rushing, like, that's a recipe for, I mean, unless you're putting up astronomical numbers yourself, I don't see you winning the football game, right? So, it's just tough, man. It was a tough day to watch the Colts play when I felt like they should have been, really in playoff push mode and really, firing on all cylinders. And it kind of looked like, it was September, October football.
Yeah. I mean, before the game in our preview, I was like, the Falcons are going to go as Bijan goes, right? And Bijan, you talked about it. He had a total of 19 plays for over 120 yards, over almost 6.5 yards per play that he had on the ground and through the air. And look, going on the social media right now, getting kind of a feel for the fans, they want Gus Bradley fired. They're putting the poor performance from the players on Gus Bradley. Mm-hmm. Now, I get it. Bradley didn't do any blitzing. Like, you almost saw no blitzing in this game. But that's – he does every game. Same thing every time. But they're putting everything on Gus Bradley. They want him terminated. They're saying the missed tackles are on Gus Bradley, guys being out of position, guys not playing with a sense of urgency. It's all on Gus Bradley. He needs to be removed from the team. What are your thoughts about that? How much blame does Gus Bradley should he be shouldering on this past loss?
So if you listen to rap, right, there's a quote that says it was all good just a week ago. It was all good just a week ago. When you're winning football games, when you're getting to the quarterback without blitzing, when you're getting interceptions, when you're causing turnovers, when you're, stopping the run, oh, you're the greatest. This is the greatest guy. Gus Bradley, he could do everything without even having to pressure the quarterback. He got his guys going. He's got guys getting creating turnovers. Then you lose a game, and now he's got to be fired. He doesn't teach the guys the right things to do. He's this, he's that, he's this. Like, listen, like, these are professional athletes. These are grown men. At the end of the day, like, yes, if you see that your team has a deficiency in a certain area and you don't address it throughout the season or make it a priority to make sure that they stay on point as something like tackling, right? Like, we talked about it earlier. Like, if you're not able to tackle, then you have no business playing professional football. Mm-hmm. Like, so these guys can tackle. It's just a simple fact of how much are we practicing it, or how much are we repping, or how much are we making an emphasis on it each week to make sure that we make it a priority to be able to do these things correctly. Like I told you, a lot of people don't like for me to reference it, but when I was in New England, they did a ball strip, a ball carrier strip that every day at practice, as mundane, as ridiculous as it was, but guess what? Every time someone ran in there to make a tackle, the next person was running in there to rip the ball out, and we would get a random turnover off of that. So how much tackling drills are they doing? I don't know. Is it a priority? It doesn't look like it is because we're missing tackles in December, right? And this is not September. So, but to fire this man because all of a sudden you guys lost and now we're not blitzing enough and all that, like, that's crazy talk to me. And I kind of get fired up about it because, like, we want to sit here and, like, praise a man a week prior when you get a, when you're getting all these victories in a row and streak is this and that, getting turnovers. And all of a sudden, like, we lose a game and now some of this man's got to be fired. Like, come on, Colts fans. Like, that's any fan in general. Like, we can't operate that way. And I take offense to it because, like, you can't, like, there's so many factors that go into, you know what I'm saying, like, why that man is in that position. Like, you don't fire Gus Bradley. You fire who hired him? How about you fire him? Because at the end of the day, like, Gus Bradley applied for the job. You could have picked anybody else. You know what kind of defense he runs. You know the style of defense. You know what he's going to do. You know he's not a big pressure guy. So take it or leave it. Mm-hmm. But we can't sit here and be like, fire that man just because you lost a football game. Like, come on. Like, he did a good job. He's got his guys juiced up. He's got his defensive line juiced up. He's got his linebackers juiced up. He's created the young. He's elevated these young guys to play well in the secondary, who everybody was trying to write off halfway through the season. They picked their stuff up. So at the end of the day, like, look at it from a standpoint of development. Look at it at a standpoint of taking guys that no one knew who they were besides DeForest Buckner up front and turning some no-name guys into guys that are actually guys that can you, when you mention other pass rushers in the NFL, you got to mention them. Or let's talk about Zaire Franklin, what he's done with him in his game, and put him in the right style of defense to make plays. Like, stuff like that, like, we can't forget that. Just look at the secondary. A minute ago, they were trash. Now, all of a sudden, they're the heartbeat of the team, and they're making plays, and they're flying around and everything. Like, so we can't fire somebody just because of, you know, a bad performance, and it's not all on him. These men are grown men, too, and they got to show up every Sunday or Monday or Thursday night and play football and ball out and work as a team together. Like, so, like, let's not sit here and fire everybody just because. Like, it's BS.
Absolutely. Let's flip to the other side of the ball. I received a text yesterday while I was doing my live stream at about 1:30. That was about an hour into the game. And I'm not going to mention who it was, but I am going to mention what the text says. It says, why the four-letter explicit word aren't the tackles using their hands? They have no punch. They just keep getting dogged walked back to the quarterback. Could you do me a favor? And like I said, I'm not going to say who texted me here, but could you explain to our audience exactly what this text is saying and what it means to the average fan?
So look, man, you clearly know who that text was from. But it's frustrating when I sit there and I'm supposed to be watching, like, elite offensive line play, right? And, like, you're not playing elite. Like, you're not even playing mediocre. You're playing bad. Like, as an offensive lineman, you have to set square. You vertical set. You have to sit and punch your hands. If your hands go outside of the framework of the – you're going to lose every time. Because – you know, and I know, if my hands are here, I'm pushing on your chest, and your hands are on my shoulders, who's going to win that battle? So as a defender, I'm taught if I'm going to bull rush you, I'm going to go right down the center of your chest. And as an offensive guy, I've got to punch him before he can do that. Or I've got to knock his hands down and keep one hand or knock his hands down so that I can get him to the outside. Right? Or knock both down and get them down on the ground. But when you consistently at, like, you pick your side left or right and you're just getting dog walked back to the quarterback and you're not giving him a chance to make a good throw, or he's worried, he's feeling pressure. He either holds on to the ball too long and moves when there's no one there, or there's a guy right in his face within 3 seconds, 2 seconds. Like, we got to do, like, come on, man. Like, so just frustrating because I'm just like, they're not using, the reason why they're getting beat is because they're not punching. They literally are not using their hands. They're not setting. They're not punching. Their hands are not inside. Their hands are outside the framework. And you can't win like that. Like, you cannot sit down on a bull rush if your hands are outside the framework. And if you don't punch, I'm not slowing your momentum down. And the problem is a lot with this new style of offensive line play that bothers me. And I talked to Nick Harwick. He lives not too far from me. I see him all the time. Is this new style of this set where these guys are holding their hands down low and like they're not punching, but they're just grabbing, but their hands are low and it looks pretty. It looks cute. And they get down in their stance and one hand's here and other hand's here. I'm like, what is that? Like, that doesn't work. So like when I train guys for like offensive line play, like I don't teach that mess because it doesn't work. And I got to where I was by the old school or regular way, not the Instagram way or the way that makes you look good on some highlight reel that they went to some phantom camp for so you can get, you know, your scholarship and go to school. Like, it doesn't work. And these guys are doing this weird new stuff that doesn't work. And it's just like, your hands got to be inside. You have to sit. You have to punch. At the end of the day, that's football 101 when it comes off the line. And they're just not doing it. And then in the middle, guys are just not moving their feet. Like when you look at Nelson and Ryan, they're not moving their feet. They're getting beat way too fast. Like, hands got to be used. Like, you have got to give your quarterback a chance. And then when we're running the football, I mean, I can go all day on this. When we're running the football, there's literally no push. They're fire off the football. You have got to create a dent into the defense so that your running back can hit that thing with momentum. He can't pitter and patter his feet and then try to get going. It's too late. I got to hit it downhill. And that comes for us to be bullies up front and get push on these guys so that we can open up a hole.
Too many times did I see Jonathan Taylor. If this is the line, Jonathan Taylor gets the ball and you just sit here and watch him go boing, 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 yes. Boing. Oh, there's a hole. Oh, too late now. You know,
yeah, because what now a linebacker's on him by that time.
Exactly.
If a linebacker makes the tackle every single time and we never touch him, but he's sitting back and I get 3 yards to carry 4 yards, I don't care. Like, take our job as offensive linemen is to take care of the line of scrimmage first and foremost. That means on pass protection, you're not letting guys blitz, you're taking care of the four guys up front, and on run blocking, you got to take care of the four down guys up front. I tell my guys all the time, like, you guys get so consumed with the linebackers. Unless they blitz and just hit it downhill and make a play right at the line of scrimmage, behind the line of scrimmage, like, let's take care of the guy right in front of you first before you worry about coming off on a linebacker. But so if you get pushed on him, take him back to the linebacker. That was my mentality. Like, yo, I'm going to take this dude. I'm going to take him to linebacker depth. I do that. The hole's made every single time. It just – I don't know, man. Like, before I came to the Colts, you know, like, a lot of people don't notice, but like a lot of guys' locker room said our line was soft, right? And so, like, when we came and me and like guys are chairless came and it's supposed to be like, you know, some like new blood in the room with, you know, Costanzo and Samson Satelli and Mike McGlynn, like, we had to be bullies. Like, and that's the only way I played. Like, so if you push me, I'm fighting you. It just is what it is. Because football is one of those sports where you just can't let somebody just come in and just bully you. Like, you got to fight back a little bit. And so when they saw that, they were like, man, like, we like that because, like, our guys before previous, they were just soft. And I'm not going to sit here and call them soft. I'm not going to do that to them. But at the end of the day, like, who's going to be the bully and the tough guy? Is like, get into a scrap, get your guys going, or just come out the first play of the game and freaking set the tone for the rest of the game. None of this filling around stuff anymore. Like, you got two games left. Like, we know if up front, defense and offensively, if defense, you guys don't get to the quarterback and create some pressures, and offensively, if you guys don't set the tone and protect your quarterback and open up holes in the run game, then we'll go home. You guys can just book your trips to Cancun. You can book your flights to Vegas. You can do whatever the hell you want to do. But make a decision starting this week. What are you guys going to do? Because you got 2 weeks to hopefully everything plays out. You win and guys lose for you to get in the playoffs. Mm-hmm. Like, what are we doing right? There's nothing else to be said.
Absolutely. And here's the deal. I want to move on from the game. Because we talked about you're like from here on out, right? We got two games left. We're sitting in the seventh seed, right? We win out. Odds are we make the playoffs. If we win out, I think we have like a 95% chance to make the playoffs. There is a way where other teams can win and lose, and we end up getting knocked out because of head-to-head matchup situations. But here's the deal. You're looking at this. You look at the game that they just had against the Falcons. They have to turn it around on multiple facets of the game in order to be, even looked at as a contender or, you know, something of that nature, especially against a team like the Raiders that we're coming up against that are playing absolutely stellar football right now. They had a 63-point offensive game not long ago, and then they beat the Chiefs, right, just this past weekend. They have to turn it around. They have to turn it around fast. Is it too late, or can they do it?
It's not too late to turn it around. It just makes it harder now because now there's no room for error. And we talked about this 2 weeks ago. You mess up, there's no room for error at this point. So now you literally took that scenario and made it a reality. So when you look at it from the Chiefs standpoint, like, they're trending in the wrong direction at the wrong time. You look at it from the Colts standpoint, all right, we lost one game. We made it hard on ourselves for this last three-game stretch where I said if you lose this game or you lose a game, you're going to make it very hard on yourself and your team to make it to the playoffs. So now winning out, you got to win out. But here's the problem. Here's the problem. You got the Raiders who have all the confidence in the world, all the juice in the world. They're playing for pride, respect, and getting the playoffs, prove everybody wrong. They started the season off bad. They lost their head coach. Now they got a guy who they're cheering, who they're rooting on, everybody wants to see be successful. The players are playing for him, right? He's a player's coach. You got these guys that just beat Kansas City. They're knocking off teams. You told me before they scored, 80,000 points in the game? Like, crazy stuff like that. Like, these guys are ready to – this is not the Raiders from 4 or 5 weeks ago. This ain't them. This is a team, if they could play like this, this is a playoff team. This is a team that if they played this from the beginning of the season, they're probably 11-3, 11-4, like 10 and whatever it is. Like, they are a team that's playing well. And then you go into it, you beat the Raiders. If you beat the Raiders, now you got the Super Bowl.
Mm-hmm.
It comes down to it because at the end of the day, CJ Stroud will be back. Everybody down there is playing for their coach. They know what they're playing for. And if they have matching records, it comes down to now you can't lose. You can't lose. And so it's always about, like, you want to be like this during the season. It's just like, steady progression. Not this and this and this. And then you think it's a high, and now you've made it hard on yourself. And you don't want that because teams that go into playoffs like that, that just scrape in and get it, they get knocked out in the first round. They go home in the wild card. Right, they go home in the divisional round because guess what? They're just not steady. They're not a consistent team. They show flashes, but they still have there's more risk than reward with those teams. You want to be right here. High risk, high reward, right? Those are teams that play well. When the pressure's on, they're going to make sure that they dominate and do whatever they got to do to win. Not all this and that. Like, so Kansas City doesn't deserve they should be a wild card team playing like they're not used to that. But I guarantee you that Kansas City, I'll put my money on Kansas City before I put my money on the Colts right now in the playoffs.
Well, they've got history in the playoffs.
That's what I'm saying. The yep. They got guys that have been there and done it before. Hell, they go on them there to Super Bowl every year. Like, they're just a team that's shooting themselves in the foot. When you watch it yesterday, it's like, so the Raiders have won that game? Yeah, they should have won that game. Do they deserve to win? Yes. Did the Chiefs deserve to lose? 1,000%. Should the Chiefs have won the game? Yes. But you allowed a team that was of lesser value, of lesser hierarchy or whatever, to be in the game by turning the ball over, by not, you know what I'm saying, not executing on your runs, missing some errant throws, not taking the quarterback that well, right? I felt like Mahomes held on the ball way too long, right? So, like, the Raiders are playing very spirited football, and if you leave it, let a team stay in a game like that, they're going to get – you can't – now you definitely can't mess up. Right. So this is a tough week for the Colts, man. This is not a cakewalk.
Absolutely. Here's I'm gonna end this episode with a question. I almost got into the Raiders a little bit and I was like, no, we gotta preview that here pretty soon. So
my bad.
You're good. A lot of talk right now by certain fans pretty much giving up on the season. They're like, there's no point in even making the playoffs. We'd be a one and done in an embarrassment fashion if we did make the playoffs. How do every team feel to make the playoffs? Is that a situation where even if you're not like a top guy, if you know you're going to walk in, you know, limp in into the wild card round or something of that nature, do you still, as a player, still feel like, you know what, I'm here and I have a real shot at you know, winning the championship because I made it, or is there a, you know, in your head, you kind of know maybe we shouldn't be here. I'm just curious how players think when it comes to like that, because there's a difference with fans. You know, some fans are like, you make it, anything can happen. And other fans are like, no, this team is garbage. They shouldn't be there.
Yeah, no, I mean, so no one's dumb. Like, everybody understands the circumstance. Everybody understands the situation they're in. Everybody on the team knows, like, realistically, like, if you're scraping into the playoffs and getting that wild card spot, you know, like, what does that look like for you? Who you have to face? What's the matchup? You know, you might be getting somebody very tough in the first round, right? And so guys kind of typically know, like, there's some teams that, like, they don't want to make the playoffs. They're ready to be done. Like, because, like I told you, like, when I was in Miami, we were 7-7, and the Houston Texans were 7-7, and someone else was 7-7. Oh, Steelers were 7-7. And it was like, whoever can, you know, finish the season, you know, basically 9-7, gets that spot. And so just like guys down in Miami already checked out. They were at South Beach on a Wednesday night before practice. Like, you know what I'm saying? Like, fighting for the suit, fighting to make the playoffs, right? So it all depends. Like, fans, like, what is that going to do? Like, you should want your team to finish the best that they can, period. So if they make the playoffs and get knocked out in the first round, good. That's a step up from last year, right? Yeah. Like you don't want your team to just because, like, honest to God, truth, like, what does that do for you? Does it move you up a little bit in the draft order? What does it do? Like, it doesn't really help you out.
Team playoff experience.
Yeah, you want that so that you can get more of that, of guys on the roster. And I know there's going to be a lot of turnover, but the more guys that you have that have playoff experience, the better you are down the stretch. And so, you know, if it looked on the outside looking in, or had been on the inside looking out, like, any team that I've been on, when we had a chance to make the playoffs, we wanted to be in the playoffs, except for that one team that year in Miami. Like, but I wanted to be on the playoff. I wanted to be in. That year, I wasn't checked out, but other guys were, right? And it was a combination of they were checked out not because they didn't think they could do it or beat this team or win. It was more so of they were just tired of the environment and the coaching staff and the way that the whole season had gone with between the coaches and players. So, you know, there's a lot to play. There's a lot to be said in the formula. Like, I can't speak for every team because there's so many moving factors. There's so much. How well do they have a relationship with the coaching staff, right? Are the guys checked out? Is their locker room toxic? Is, you know what I'm saying? Like, what is it? Just all those factors that factor in. But damn it, everybody wants to win the Super Bowl. Like, any player would be lying to say that they don't want to go, or they have, like, no aspirations. They just want to get paid. Like, yeah, there's guys that want to get paid, but you still want to. If you're putting all this work in to get paid, like, you want another reward as well, not just like monetary reward. So, like, when I made it to the Super Bowl and we walked off the field with that confetti hitting us and never, you know, did not winning, that was a hard, you know what I'm saying? It wasn't easy, man. That sucked because you put so much work into the season at that point. You wanted to win for everyone else and for yourself. Like, and you just never know when you're going to get back. Now, granted, I won't even say that because Colts fans will slaughter me for that. But, you know, you just never know when you're going to get back, and you got to take it for what it's worth because this game is so brutal. You know what I'm saying? Like, you could have a career ending injury like I had and never play another snap again. And then you'd be shooting yourself in the foot because you wanted to always, you know, play in the playoffs or fight for a Super Bowl. And you just never had the chance to. So, you know, you just have to be thankful and grateful for the position that you're in at the time and just take it for what it's worth, man. And so if you get a chance to go to the playoffs, hell, fight like hell and make it to the playoffs, because you just never know when you'll make it back either.
Yep. Absolutely. In my opinion. Now, here's something else that I want to talk about, because you can limp into a playoffs and still win a Super Bowl. It's been done, right? That the year that New England finished the season undefeated, right? Mm-hmm. And they walk all the way to the Super Bowl, look like, you know, world enders. It was the New York Giants who limped into that playoff. No one expected them to go very far at all. Walked all the way down and won, right?
Yeah.
So anything can happen. And once you get in, it can't. Are the odds stacked against you? Abso-freaking-lutely. But if you can start playing your best football at the end of the season, into the playoffs, and let that stretch out through the playoffs, anything can happen at that
point. Yep. 1,000%, you know, just get in. You get, hey, look, you get smoked the first round. Now you just got sour taste in your mouth till next season, make you work harder. You get there and you fall short. You split when you go 1-1, you don't make the playoffs. You got a bitter taste, sour taste in your mouth, makes you work harder for next year. You know what this feels like. You know you don't want to be in this position again. So you want to take care of business and make sure that any young guy or any veteran or anyone that's remaining on this team that's coming back for next year, we all band together to get better for next season. And we know where we fell short. We know we still have another, you know, our quarterback coming back. Hopefully he's coming along. So you have to just look at the positives with it all and just work harder for next season. But you can't want to just – because here's the deal. And we're – and Colts fans, we've seen it, right? That's why I never get really high on bringing in rookies. The draft doesn't mean anything, in my opinion, because you just never know what you're going to get. There's too many moving with basketball. I can say, like, number one overall pick, he's going to give me, I mean, unless he's a complete bust, he's going to give me 15 to 18 points his rookie year. And we can build off of that, right? But he's going to have substantial playing time. He's going to have some highlight plays. He's going to put butts in seats, blah, blah, blah. With football, how many first-round picks do we see get tear an ACL or have a season-ending injury in training camp? There were high draft picks.
If I remember correctly, the average length of time a first-round – no, the number one overall pick does not reach their second contract in the NFL.
I was just about to get to that. Like, so it's not about – it's like in football, it's so much like – you got to hit it now. Like, we need production right away because it's such a brutal, violent game. So, but some guys just aren't ready for that. And, like, I tell people all the time, like, and I'm not saying that this is a specific player. This is just my thoughts in my head that I always, and I'm able to get to spew these out to y'all. But everybody has a glass ceiling. Everyone has a ceiling. Whether you're and everybody knows it. You know it. Anyone watching this podcast knows. How many people were monsters in youth football? And they got to high school, and all of a sudden they stopped growing, they fell off. And how many guys were monsters in high school? And then they went to college, and they couldn't hack it. They just weren't good enough, right? Or how many guys like that I knew in college that were monsters, that I played against that were monsters, that you knew that went to college that were monsters, and they got to the league, and they couldn't hack it. They got gone within the first year or two in the league. Like, so everybody has a certain ceiling that they hit. Mm-hmm. So, like, you never know what you're going to get when you draft a player, period. I don't care if it's first round or seventh round to undrafted free agent. But we do know that, you know, you find the gems in the later rounds and all that. But like I'm saying for the Colts, and I'm not saying any scenario or anything like that, I'm hoping that Anthony Richardson didn't have enough game experience from this year. We all know that. Didn't get enough snaps. But I hope he's able to make a jump for next season. He gave us a little preview of what he can do. I hope that there's a constant progression. He really works on his craft, his game. But also guys that come in for the season next year and the pieces that they put together are going to be guys that have proven themselves to be hardworking guys that, you know what I'm saying, like, because you just don't want to put all your eggs in one basket when you're just looking to move up in the draft order or, you know what I'm saying, get a guy from – like, you just don't know what's going to happen. So, like, that's teams that always want to just draft off of, like, get a number one pick or have all this kind of stuff. Like, you see where they're at. Right, you
always see at the bottom of the barrel is where they're at.
Seeing, like, it takes a couple years for the most part for guys to develop. And it's 11 guys out there at once. Every piece has to fit together. It's a puzzle. So, like, you got to give guys grace. You got to give GMs grace. You got to give VPs grace. You got to give DCs and OCs and HCs grace when it comes to putting this whole thing together, because it's not easy. It's not an easy task. You can't just line guys up on a Sunday and say, go play football. Every piece has to be right. Like, you know what I'm saying? Like, it has to. So, like, with the Colts, like, you got to get the right pieces, and they're putting it together. They're just missing a couple. Like, that corner that you can't find, you looking under the box to find it because you can't find it, or you want to jam this piece in there because it looks like it fits. It doesn't fit. You got to find that piece. So give guys a second, man. Like, you know, not just for every sport, you know, but like, you know, don't let the Colts ball out. Last 2 weeks, I want to see him win, get in the playoffs, make some noise, right? Take down a Giant, maybe, right? Like, it can happen. It could happen. Will it? Is it likely? Probably not. But at the end of the day, like, it's probable. And so, like, that is enough to hang your hat on and just be a fan of this team, right? Like, and ride out with them no matter what. Like, I'm a Knicks fan, diehard Knicks fan. It's been brutal. I'm 38 years old. It's been brutal. But guess what? I look at the positives every single year. Just get better every single year, and I know it's going to happen at some point. That's it. That's it, man, you know?
Yep. I get you. I understand completely. Well, I think that's going to do it for us on this episode. We got about 35 minutes into this. That's an awesome episode. Can't wait to actually do the breakdown for the Raiders here upcoming next few days. And I think that's going to do it, though, for this episode of Believe in Colts, brought to you by Bet Online. I'm Lawrence Owen. That is Donald Thomas. And as usual, go Colts.
Go Colts, baby.
Do you believe?